An effort to cut improper payments from the Obama administration hasn't worked the way the White House wanted. Comptroller General of the United States Jean Dodaro tells the Senate Finance Committee improper federal payments increased in 2014. Beryl Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office and leading GAO's work on improper payments. Beryl, thanks for your time today and for coming on to talk about this work. The General's testimony noted that GAO is unable to determine the full extent of improper payments and isn't able to assure that agencies are taking the right actions to cut those payments. What's the backdrop here? What are the historic problems that have caused GAO to be unable to do those two functions? Thanks for your time today, Beryl.
Sure. I'm happy to be here. The issues have started with the risk assessment. There are actually some phases that you go through in developing an improper payment, and the first is, of course, the risk assessment. So to the extent that that risk assessment is inaccurate or not complete or not done at all, you're not going to have a good estimation of improper payments. Also, programs are not reporting improper payments even when they've done risk assessments. So, for example, TANF, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, which has over $16 billion in program outlays annually, they are citing statutory requirements which are preventing them from actually estimating improper payments. And then the last point I'll make is unreliable or understated estimates. We have noted issues across the board with that particular problem.
General Dodaro testified in this that improper payments attributable to 124 programs across 22 agencies in fiscal 14 was $124.7 billion. That's up from $105.8 billion in fiscal 13. Regarding the problems that you underline, the trend line with the dollar value is pretty clear. Do we have a sense of the trends regarding those three areas that you just outlined, Beryl?
The trend, I think, is a good trend in the sense that to the extent that agencies are actually performing risk assessments, developing good estimating methodologies, and actually coming up with numbers that are identified as estimated improper payments is certainly a positive trend. OMB issued some guidance in October of last year, which has given more direction to the agencies. And, of course, we have three pieces of legislation that have provided guidance to the agencies and how to develop improper payment estimates. So I think the trend is positive. If the number goes up, there are sometimes good things about a number going up to the extent that that provides a more reliable estimate. And as you pointed out, the number has gone up $19 billion since the last fiscal year.
It's kind of a parallel to what we see in the cyber attack realm then, Beryl, where we are seeing higher numbers, but it's because we have a better sense of what's really going on and there's less guesswork involved. That's what it sounds like you're saying. Am I hearing you correctly?
I think that's an accurate statement.
You cite in this testimony, General Dodaro did, Medicare, Medicaid, the Earned Income Tax Credit as kind of the big three in improper payments. What are the holdups to progress in those areas? Because his testimony cited that those are areas where we can expect federal spending to go up, at least as far as Medicare and Medicaid go.
Yes, those actually were $16 billion of the $19 billion increase, so they really are significant when you look at the total government-wide estimate. Medicare, we've noticed through our reviews when we do audits of Medicare, Medicaid, and EITC, we've noticed some issues. For example, in Medicare, we've noticed that while they're using automated edits, and these are edits that are programmed into claim processing systems to identify potential improper payments, we've noticed that they have more work to do there. So they're starting that process, but they could enhance it. One other thing that we've looked at in Medicare has been the Social Security numbers in the Medicare cards, and we've made recommendations to remove those numbers because of the threat for identity theft. Medicaid, we've looked at third-party liability issues. Medicaid is supposed to be the payer of last resort, and private insurance companies are supposed to be paying prior to Medicaid. That doesn't always happen. EITC, we've noticed issues relating the eligibility of the taxpayer in relation to the their relationship with the child and whether that's a proper relationship, which would qualify them for the tax credit, as well as some income issues, whether they're meeting the income thresholds.
Beryl Davis of the Government Accountability Office, and you point out in this testimony the recent emphasis that the administration's put on improper payments, and you cited that guidance earlier in our conversation. conversation. But this report, this testimony also says incomplete or understated estimates and noncompliance with criteria listed in federal law hinder the government's ability to assess the full extent of improper payments and implement strategies to reduce them. What are some examples, some hard examples that you found?
Okay. Well, let me first say, as far as compliance goes, there were five programs this past year that had over $1 billion in improper payment estimates. And those five programs were non-compliant with either one or more of the IPERA, that's the improper payments legislation criteria, for three consecutive years. And that's important because for three consecutive years, there is a requirement that agencies and the programs, respective programs, are to consider reauthorization of those programs or come up with statutory language that would enable them to come into compliance. Regarding some examples, though, of some of these issues, in December of 2014, we did a review of the Department of Energy's risk assessment process, and we actually found that they were not fully evaluating the risk factors, such as, you know, deficiencies in internal controls for preventing and detecting improper payments. Another example I might give you has to do with the Department of Defense. They've had some long-standing financial management issues and have been unable to demonstrate that all of the payments that are subject to improper payments estimating requirements are actually included in the population for review. So if you don't have a complete population, you're not going to get a very good estimate.
You've made a number of recommendations, you and your colleagues, over the years regarding improper payments. Are there common threads in the ones that are still outstanding that are holding agencies back from getting a handle on what they're paying out?
There are some common threads, and that is really aligned with what the process is, the needed process is to accomplish a good estimate and to reduce improper payments. For example, identifying risk-susceptible programs, as I mentioned earlier, developing reliable estimates, taking corrective action, looking at the root causes. In order to determine how you can correct the problem, you need to know what the cause is of the improper payment. And then also estimating and meeting reduction targets. Once an improper payment estimate is established, you want to see what you can do next year to bring that down. So there are certain common things that agencies can do to reduce their improper payments.
I think the thing that I take away most from your work historically and from General Dodaro's testimony to the Senate Finance Committee in particular, though, Beryl, is that the agencies that are following the law and following the recommendations are having success, and it's the headline that improper payments are on the rise is accurate, but it's not necessarily indicative of the full picture. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
Yes, it is indicative. It's not a full disclosure at this point. There are so many things that need to be done at the program and at the agency level in order to develop good estimates. But I think the trend has been positive in that we are moving forward in the identification process. Now what we need to do is focus a little bit more on preventing and detecting improper payments in those situations when they do occur.
Beryl, thank you as always for your contribution. It's great to have you back on the program today.